Today is the 24th day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today around the global campfire as we continue the journey through the Bible and the journey through the year together. Yesterday, we transitioned from the book of Numbers into the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. We talked about that, and Deuteronomy being the last book of the Torah, etc. But probably the main thing to remember here, as we're right at the beginning of Deuteronomy still, is that these are the three conversations or discourses, talks, that Moses had as he gathered the people together for his last words. In so many ways, that's what Deuteronomy is the last things that Moses wants to say to the people that he has led before he becomes a part of their history and they move forward. And so, we're reading from the God's Word translation this week, Deuteronomy chapters 2 and 3. We went back into the desert, following the road that goes to the Red Sea, as the Lord had told me. For a long time we traveled around the region of Mount Seir. The Lord said to me, "You've traveled around this region long enough. Now go north. Give the people these instructions. You're going to pass through the territory of your relatives, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir. They'll be afraid of you. But be very careful. Don't start a fight with them, because I'm not giving you any of their land, not even enough to stand on. I've given Esau's descendants the region of Mount Seir as their property. You must pay them in silver for the food you eat and the water you drink. The Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched over you as you traveled through this vast desert. For 40 years now, the Lord your God has been with you, and you haven't needed a thing." So we passed by our relatives, the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. We turned off the road that goes through the plains to Elath and Ezion-Geber, and took the road that goes through the desert of Moab. The Lord said to me, "Don't bother the people of Moab or start a war with them. I'm not giving you any of Ar as your property. I have given it to the descendants of Lot." The Emites used to live there. These people were as strong, as numerous, and as tall as the people of Anak. They were thought to be Rephaim, like the people of Anak, but the Moabites called them Emites. The Horites used to live in Seir, but the descendants of Esau claimed their land, wiped them out, and took their place, as Israel did in the land that the Lord gave them. Then the Lord said, "Now cross the Zered River." So we crossed the Zered River. 38 years passed from the time we left Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the Zered River. During that time, all our soldiers from that generation died, as the Lord had sworn they would. In fact, it was the Lord himself who got rid of all of them until none were left in the camp. When the last of these soldiers had died, the Lord said to me, "Today you are going to pass by the border of Moab at Ar. When you come near the Ammonites, don't bother them or start a fight with them. I'm not giving you any of the land that I have already given to the descendants of Lot as their property." This land was thought of as the land of the Rephaim, who used to live there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim. These people were as strong, as numerous, and as tall as the people of Anak, but the Lord wiped them out before the Ammonites came, so that the Ammonites claimed their land and took their place. The Lord did the same thing for the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. Before the descendants of Esau came, he wiped out the Horites so that Esau's descendants claimed their land and took their place. Esau's descendants are still there today. The same thing happened to the Avites, who lived in villages as far away as Gaza. The Kaphtorites, who came from Crete, wiped them out and took their place. The Lord continued, "Now break camp, cross the Arnon Valley. I'm going to hand King Sihon of Heshbon, the Amorite, over to you. Fight him and take possession of his country. Today I will start to make all the people under heaven terrified of you. When they hear about you, they will tremble and shake because of you. From the desert of Kedemot, I sent messengers to King Sihon of Heshbon with the following offer of peace. If you allow us to travel through your country, we'll go straight through and won't ever leave the road. We'll pay you in silver for the food we eat and the water we drink. Please let us go through. As the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and the Moabites, who live in Ar, did for us. We'll keep going until we cross the Jordan River into the land the Lord our God is giving us." But King Sihon of Heshbon wouldn't allow us to pass through. "The Lord your God made him stubborn and overconfident in order to hand him over to you as he has now done." The Lord said to me, "I have begun to give you Sihon and his country. Go ahead, take possession of his land." Sihon and all his troops came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz. The Lord our God gave Sihon to us, and we defeated him, his sons, and all his troops. At that time we captured all his cities and claimed them for God by destroying men, women, and children. There were no survivors. However, we did loot the cities that we captured, taking the cattle and goods. From Arior on the edge of the Arnon Valley, and the city in that valley as far as Gilead, no city had walls that could keep us out. The Lord our God gave us all of them. But the Lord our God had forbidden you to go anywhere near the land of the Ammonites. So you didn't enter the land along the bank of the Jabbok River or capture the cities in the mountains. Next, we turned and followed the road that goes to Bashan. King Og of Bashan and all his troops came to fight us at Edrei. The Lord said to me, "Don't be afraid of him. I'll hand him, all his troops, and his land over to you. Do to him what you did to King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon." So the Lord our God also handed King Og of Bashan and all his troops over to us. We defeated him, leaving no survivors. At that time we captured all of his cities. There wasn't a city we didn't take. We captured a total of 60 cities, the whole territory of Argob, the kingdom of Og, and Bashan. All of these cities were fortified with high walls and double door gates, with bars across the gates. We also captured a large number of unwalled villages. We claimed them all for God, destroying every city, including men, women, and children, as we did to King Sihon of Heshbon. However, we did loot the cities, taking all the cattle and goods. We took the land of the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, from the Arnon Valley to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians call Mount Hermon by the name Sirion, and the Amorites call it Sinir. We took all of the cities of the plateau, all of Gilead, and all of Bashan as far as Salca and Edrei, cities of Og's kingdom in Bashan. Of the Rephaim, only King Og of Bashan was left. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It is still in the Ammonite city of Rabbah. At that time we took possession of this land. I gave the tribes of Reuben and Gad the land north of Arior near the Arnon Valley and half of the mountain region of Gilead with its cities. I gave the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan ruled by Og to half the tribe of Manasseh. The whole territory of Argob and Bashan used to be called the land of the Rephaim. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, took the whole territory of Argob as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites. The settlements in Bashan he named Havoth Jair after himself. This is still their name today. I gave Gilead to Machir. I gave the tribes of Reuben and Gad some of Gilead from the Arnon Valley. The middle of the valley is the border to the Jabbok River, which is the border of Ammon. Their land included the plains around the Jordan River. The western border was the river from the Sea of Galilee to the Sea of the Plains, the Dead Sea, which is near Mount Pisgah on the east. I gave the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh this command: The Lord your God has given you this land so that you can take possession of it. All your soldiers must be ready for battle when they cross the Jordan River ahead of the other Israelites. I know you have a lot of livestock. Your wives, children, and livestock must stay here in the cities that I gave you. Your soldiers will go with the other Israelites until they take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them on the other side of the Jordan River. Then they will have a place to rest as you have. After that, each of you may go back to the land I gave you. I also gave Joshua this command: You have seen with your own eyes everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all of the kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan River where you're going. Don't be afraid of them, because the Lord your God himself will fight for you. Then I pleaded with the Lord: Almighty Lord, you have only begun to show me how great and powerful you are. What kind of God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and the mighty acts you have done? Please let me go over and see the beautiful land on the other side of the Jordan River, those beautiful mountains in Lebanon. The Lord was angry with me because of you, so he wouldn't listen to me. He said, That's enough out of you. Don't talk to me any more about this. Go to the top of Mount Pisgah and look west, north, south, and east. You may look at the land, but you will never cross the Jordan River. Give instructions to Joshua. Encourage and strengthen him, because he will lead these people across the Jordan River, and he will help them take possession of the land you see. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. Luke 6, 12-38. At that time, Jesus went to a mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called his disciples. He chose 12 of them and called them apostles. They were Simon, whom Jesus named Peter, and Simon's brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus came down from the mountain with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples and many other people were there. They had come from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They wanted to hear him and be cured of their diseases. Those who were tormented by evil spirits were cured. The entire crowd was trying to touch him because power was coming from him and curing all of them. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, Blessed are those who are poor. God's kingdom is theirs. Blessed are those who are hungry. They will be satisfied. Blessed are those who are crying. They will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, avoid you, insult you, and slander you, because you are committed to the Son of Man. Rejoice then and be very happy. You have a great reward in heaven. That's the way their ancestors treated the prophets. But how horrible it will be for those who are rich. They have had their comfort. How horrible it will be for those who are well fed. They will be hungry. how horrible it will be for those who are laughing. They will mourn and cry. How horrible it will be for you when everyone says nice things about you. That's the way their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I tell everyone who is listening, love your enemies. Be kind to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who insult you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek as well. If someone takes your coat, don't stop him from taking your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you for something. If someone takes what is yours, don't insist on getting it back. Do for other people everything you want them to do for you. If you love those who love you, do you deserve any thanks for that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you help those who help you, do you deserve any thanks for that? Sinners do that too. If you lend anything to those from whom you expect to get something back, do you deserve any thanks for that? Sinners also lend to sinners to get back what they lend. Rather, love your enemies. Help them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then you will have a great reward. You will be the children of the Most High God. After all, he is kind to unthankful and evil people. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will never be judged. Stop condemning and you will never be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive a large quantity. Pressed together, shaken down, and running over will be put into your pocket. The standards you use for others will be applied to you. Psalm 67. For the choir director, on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God have pity on us and bless us. May he smile on us. Selah. Then your ways will be known on earth, your salvation throughout all nations. Let everyone give thanks to you, O God. Let everyone give thanks to you. Let the nations be glad and sing joyfully because you judge everyone with justice and guide the nations on the earth. Selah. Let the people give thanks to you, O God. Let all the people give thanks to you. The earth has yielded its harvest. May God, our God, bless us. May God bless us. And may all the ends of the earth worship him. Proverbs 11:27. Whoever eagerly seeks good searches for goodwill, but whoever looks for evil finds it. Okay, so in the Gospel of Luke today, we encounter the territory of the Sermon on the Mount, very, very famous in Jesus' ministry. A much abbreviated version in the Gospel of Luke as compared to the Gospel of Matthew, which is significantly more comprehensive. But we're passing through this territory, and the fullness of the message is there and actually can be quite encapsulated into a bite-sized morsel that we can remember and really work to get it into our hearts, because a posture is being laid out here that is very contrary to the world that Jesus was living in and is very contrary to the world we are living in. And so what Jesus is saying can be encapsulated this way, and I quote, "The standards you use for others will be applied to you." So we can look at what's being laid out here as a posture of heart. In fact, let's look at what's being laid out as a posture of heart. Because Jesus is, in effect, saying, look, if you do something good to somebody who does something good to you, who doesn't do that? If you love somebody who loves you back, everybody does that. And then Jesus says, rather, love your enemies. Help them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then you will have a great reward. You will be the children of the Most High God. Stop judging, and you will never be judged. Stop condemning, and you will never be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Right? Press down, shaken together, and running over. And then he says, the standards you use for others will be applied to you. And so we can look at these commands and go, love my enemy, what are you talking about? I can't do that. I've tried that. I fail at that. And we can look at any of these things and go, this is too difficult for me. You're laying bondage on me. You're laying me in a new law, more rules on me. I thought I was free from all of this stuff. What Jesus is actually doing is showing us the path to become free. And it just blossoms and becomes this massive awareness when we understand that we are setting the gauge for our own judgment based on how we judge others, right? Like repeating Jesus again, stop judging and you will never be judged. Stop condemning and you will never be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. This is the pathway, and it is absolutely backward to the world that Jesus lived in and the world that we live in, but it is the way we were designed to live. God didn't create Adam and Eve and then say, be fruitful and multiply upon the earth so that you can destroy one another constantly, hold grudges, be bitter, have mental illness, have complete physical breakdowns. That was never the plan for it to be a mess. It was supposed to be perfect. And to even move in that direction means we have to get good at letting go of the things that are weighing us down, that have captured us, that have imprisoned us. That is not freedom. So yeah, it's hard to stop judging. It's hard to stop condemning. It's hard to forgive. It's just a matter of whether or not we want to be free. We get to choose how we navigate, but this is the path. This is the way to freedom, interior freedom. Heart freedom, freedom that wells up from within and spills out into our lives. And it is not easy, but we do have an example in Jesus. And it is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives within us, according to the scriptures. And so it's a lot more about us surrendering those offenses. It's about surrendering those rights and those wrongs. And think about unforgiveness, or think about bitterness or resentment or envy or any of the things that we carry around inside of ourselves like they're best friends to us. In what way have any of those things enriched your life and led you on the narrow path that leads to life and into freedom? It doesn't work. And so here's the path. May we walk in it. And Holy Spirit, come, because we will not walk more than two steps on this path without getting off into the ditch without your guidance. We forget. We have triggers. We react to almost anything. And by the time we've reacted, we've made a mess so often that we can't get back out of. It's hard to unsay what you've said. So help us, Holy Spirit. we want to be free. And here's the path, but we will not be able to navigate it on our own. We need you more than ever. Come, we open ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It's the website. It's certainly where you can find out what's going on around here. You can also do that in the Daily Audio Bible app, which is downloadable from your app store. Just look for Daily Audio Bible and you'll find it. So check that out. Check out the community section. Check out the prayer wall. If you haven't been there in a while or have never been there, it's time. It is so good to know that there is a place we can go and kind of pour out our heart, knowing that our brothers and sisters who are literally on the same page with us, we're literally going through the Bible together, page by page, step by step, together. So brothers and sisters from around the world who are really on the same page with us can pray for us as we take this journey, and we can be the people that are reaching back with encouragement as well. Doesn't just have to be in times of crisis. It's good to know that it's there, because life has its ups and downs. And when we're down, someone's up. And when we're up, someone's down. And it's so good to know that we can be there for each other in those times. And the prayer wall is a great resource for that. So check that out. It's in the community section of the app or the website. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission is life-giving, if showing up around the global campfire every day together and taking the next step forward is meaningful, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage of dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app from anywhere in the world. Or there are a number of numbers that you can use depending on where you are in the world. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number to dial. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-8820-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Dab family. This is Thankful and Still, and I'm calling in response to James the Teacher. I heard you on this past week's prayer and encouragement, and I just want to pray for you. As you are at a crossroads in your career as a teacher, I know that love of students and seeing them grow. And like you said, you were out at an event that was at a higher level, and it was really exciting. And yet you have this other opportunity coming, or that you're going to meet about. So Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for the honor of serving you wherever we are, Lord, in whatever career we're in. I pray that along the way that you would guide each step by step, and that trust would be refined. Trust in you, Lord, that knows all and sees all and has this amazing plan that's beyond us, right? And sometimes you only allow us to see a tiny bit that's in front of us and not much else. And so I pray that you would ease any anxieties, maybe even frustrations, or just this not knowing, that it would be okay not to know, because you know, God. And so I pray for James that you just put him at ease, guide his steps, and knowing that as long as he's with you, it's going to be amazing. And that exhilaration, that would be such a good, like a roller coaster ride, right? It's just so exciting and fun, but kind of scary. And that he would just walk with you step by step. I thank you and I praise you for the outcome, but I thank you and I praise you that you hold our hand all along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stubborn, articulate, and sure of myself. Hardworking, loyal, and in excellent health. Resolute, pushy, opinionated, strong, full of myself, but often quite wrong. But I came to know Jesus in a personal way, and I gave him my life, vowing always to stay, serving him faithfully day after day, vowing even to death his will to obey. I had a conception from things I had heard, and I was quite happy to finally meet him, the real living word. The promised Messiah, the anointed, the Christ. I will never ever leave you, regardless of price. And things went quite smoothly, at least for a while. I had the strength of a bull, but I lacked the faith of a child. This is an accurate description of an egotist like me, but I'm talking about Peter, the one who walked on the sea. He was obeying the master, but he had his eyes on the storm. And I've done the same thing too. In fact, it's my norm. And I too have cried out in terror to Jesus, my Lord, just like Peter. Please save me, help me get back on board. I failed you, denied you, and bitterly wept. Take me back and restore me, though your words I've not kept. Because you do know I love you. Let me sit at your feet, because when I'm in your presence, Lord, my joy is complete. There's nothing in this life, Lord, that I'd much rather do than just feed your sheep and bring glory to you. For you are the master, and your will I'll obey. You're also my strength, and in all things I pray that you won't leave or forsake me or cast me away. Please renew my strength, Lord, and take all the reproach away. You know all things, Lord, their end and their start. And you know I'm complete now, because you know my heart. And just like Peter, I'll serve you complete to the end. I did learn my lesson, Lord. Please take me back again. BlindTony1016@gmail.com. Once again, Brian.
Hey, this one goes out to Val from Vegas. This is Mike in Awe in Kansas City. So great to hear you call in and worship God and talk about how your life is getting better from that, I don't know if it was COVID or double pneumonia or what that was, but great to hear that you're thriving. And we love you out here. We heard the emotion in your voice when you said how much we mean to you as dabbers, and you mean that same to us. And you're a living witness right now. Like anybody who is really listening to Dab and hearing these prayer requests will see the struggle of Val. She went into a struggle, she came out, she worshiped God. She went into another struggle, she came out, she worshiped God. And that represents the way that Christianity is, that Christians are supposed to live. We go through the struggle and we come out worshiping God, and we worship through the struggle too. So thank you for who you are and what you do. We love you out here.
Hey guys. Life has been a lot right now. I started a new job last summer, and I'm trying my best at it, but I feel like I am constantly not good enough to be doing it. And things aren't getting better. And I'm in a really tough situation with a four-year relationship and trying to navigate when to fight for things and when to understand that God has a plan for me and to just let whatever is supposed to happen, happen. And I've been spending a lot of time really doing things on my own and trying to figure out what the right thing to do is and the best action and the next step and just plowing forward on my own. And I've been crashing and burning for months and months, and I feel like I'm at my breaking point and I don't know where else to turn. So I'm trying prayer and I'm trying God, and I'm learning to not only just hear about wisdom and acknowledge it mentally, but also to incorporate it into my life and to understand that God's plan and God's decisions are so much greater than mine, and I just really need...
Hi, DB family. This is Claribel. I'm listening from United Arab Emirates. I just listened to March the 19th. Today is March 21st. And I just want to thank Pamela, Refined by the Fire from Pennsylvania, for sharing your testimony, for sharing your prayer support. I am now going through what you went through in your marriage, and some of the titles that the professionals attributed to your husband are, they're the case with mine, and my marriage is still very young, but I can't see it surviving. I couldn't, at least until I listened to your testimony, and I just believe that if it worked for you, or if it is finally working for you, then it can work for me too. And I don't want to give up before finally breaking through like you are right now. I don't know how to penetrate my husband. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know. We're from two different backgrounds. He's white, I'm African. But I don't think that's the problem. It's something else. He's more than twice my age, but I don't think that's the problem. It's something else. And please pray for me that I don't give up, because I'm so tired.